Lord God, we just want to take this time to acknowledge you, to settle our minds, to prepare our hearts, to prepare ourselves to hear what you have to say to us today. Lord God, I thank you that it's not a coincidence that we're here in this moment. God, that you have ordained this time. You ordained this setting, everything about it, God. And I believe with all my heart, Lord, that what I'm about to share is exactly what you want to speak to us today. And so, God, we just thank you in advance for what you are about to do. We open our hearts, God. We open our ears. We open our minds to hear what you have to say to us today. And God, I pray that we would leave here today having had a true encounter with you in every way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So if you will take out your message notes that are in your bulletins there. You know, I've been doing a little bit of research, and I've been reading a little bit about nuclear submarines. I do stuff like that. And nuclear submarines have perhaps the most amazing technology that exists. It's amazing. Nuclear subs can stay underwater for 90 days at a time. But after 90 days, they have to resurface. And the reason why they have to resurface is because they have to realign their navigation systems with the North Star. Because while they're underwater, the Earth's magnetic forces mess up their navigation system. So every 90 days they have to resurface and realign with the reference point of the North Star. Today we're going to continue our series, Wealth Building Strategies of King Solomon. Today's going to be part 3 of that. And what we're doing in our series is we're having an audience with King Solomon to kind of glean wisdom for our lives from him. At the top of your message notes, there's 1 Kings 10, 23 through 24. It says, King Solomon was greater in riches and wisdom than all the other kings of the earth. The whole world sought audience with Solomon to hear the wisdom God had put in his heart. My message today is entitled, Stay on Course. Stay on Course. We've been talking about how life is a journey and that we need to take wisdom with us on this life journey. Last week, we talked about choosing our direction for the journey. Now, today, once we're going in the right direction, the challenge is for us to stay on course. Stay on course. And staying on course will involve navigation. It's going to involve navigation, which means that we're going to need navigational equipment. God has all that covered. Because the Bible teaches that your heart, put your hand over your heart, please. The Bible teaches that your heart is your navigational equipment. King Solomon says this in Proverbs chapter 4, which are in your notes. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart above all else. Above all else, guard your heart, because it determines the course of your life. Your heart is the navigational equipment that God has given you. Now, when I say your heart, I'm not talking about the organ that's beating in your chest. The Bible refers to our heart as being the center of who we are, the core of who we are, our personality, our intellect, everything about who we are, our identity, our individual identity, the Bible refers to that as being your heart. Your heart is who you really are. And so your heart is the navigational equipment that God's given you. Your heart determines the course of your life, the direction that you take with your life. Of course, that word course is a navigational term. Other translations of Proverbs 4:23 use other words, but they all mean the same thing. Your heart determines the direction, the course that you take as far as your life. So think about this. For better or for worse, wherever you are right now, in this moment, your heart has brought you here. For better or worse, whether things are going good or whether things aren't going so good for you right now, where you are right now is because your heart has brought you to this place, to this moment, because your heart determines the course of your life. That's why it's so important. That's why Solomon says, above all else, it's more important than anything else you own. Protect this more than anything else. Protect your heart, because it will determine where you go with your life. You can write this down. Any form of navigation requires a true reference point. Any form of navigation, whether it's something material, whether it's an airplane, whether it's your GPS in your car, or whether it's your life, any form of navigation requires a true reference point. Now, I've already mentioned, like with the submarines, the reference point is the North Star. That's what they use to realign, to calibrate their navigational systems with the North Star. But it's interesting, in our country, there's a small bronze disc that's in the ground in Kansas at a place called the Meads Ranch Triangulation Station. It's out in the middle of nowhere. It's the middle, literally, I've seen pictures of it. It's just a field, just nothing. You know, you can look all around. There's nothing out there. But there's this bronze disc that's in the ground. And it's the exact place that marks where the 39th parallel crosses the 98th meridian. Now, there's an agency in our country, a federal agency called the National Geodetic Survey. And their job is to be able, by using that disc, that reference point, their job is they can locate any place in the United States to the inch. To the inch. They can locate, pinpoint every place that exists in our country using that disc as the reference point. All commercial airlines, ocean liners, everything uses the National Geodetic Survey as a reference point for their navigation. Now, what can happen when there isn't a true reference point? I read about a situation from a number of years ago in Pennsylvania. The Pennsylvania State Highway Department decided they needed to build a bridge over this waterway, and they figured the best way to do it was they would have two crews, one on each side of the waterway, to build a bridge, and they would build it, and then they would meet in the middle and connect it. Well, the two crews work, and they're building this bridge, and when they got to the middle of the waterway, they realized that they were 13 feet off from each side of the other. And they figured out what it was each crew used a different reference point. And that's what that was what the issue is. The guy that wrote the article about it, he said, location by approximation can be costly and dangerous. So any form of navigation requires a true reference point. If your heart is your navigational system, you need, and I need, a true reference point, or else we're gonna miss the mark as far as our life destination. Warren Wiersbe, in his commentary, he said, whatever your heart loves, listen to this, whatever your heart loves, your eyes and your ears take notice. Whatever your heart loves, your eyes and your ears take notice. In other words, whatever your heart loves, you will search for it. You will find it. You will locate it. Whatever's in your heart, whatever it is that your heart loves, whatever that you seriously desire, you're gonna find it. Here's a silly example. Say you're at work and you're not thinking about food at all. You're just at work doing your thing. But you overhear a couple of your coworkers talk about grilling and barbecue, and from that moment on the plot starts developing, the plan. Right? You start thinking, okay, let's see, after work, I can stop by the grocery store. I can pick up this and that. Let's see, my propane may be low, so I better get the tank. You just start creating this plan in your mind simply because you heard somebody talk about something. But that's something that you love. And when your heart loves something, you're gonna act on it. You're going to act on it. Jesus put it this way in Matthew 6:21. He said, for where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Your heart will locate your treasure because your heart is your navigational system. And whatever your heart loves, it's gonna find for better or for worse. That's why, you guys, listen to this. You can tell where someone's heart is at by what they do. By what they do. Jesus put it like this in Luke chapter 6, starting at verse 43. He said, a good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. A tree is identified by its fruit. Figs are never gathered from thorn bushes. Grapes are not picked from bramble bushes. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say, and also what you do, flows from what is in your heart. So if our hearts are our navigational system, and it's critical for us to have a true reference point, then the reference point for the Christian is the Word of God. This is the bronze disc in Kansas. This is our true reference point. That means all of your values, all of your judgments, all of your attitudes, everything has to be compared to the reference point. This is how we calibrate our lives. This is how we know. If you have a question, I wonder if I had the right attitude. Let's see how my attitude stacks up with what the Word of God says. Then I know, oh, I was a little bit off. I better course correct, because this is our true reference point. So what I want to do quickly is I want to look at four things that the Bible says to help us stay on course with our lives. Because I believe all of you guys, like me, we want to finish well. You guys want to finish well, right? I mean, that's what we want. And so, but that's going to mean that we're going to have to stay on course. Or maybe for some of you, you need to get on course and then stay on course. Right? Some of y'all need to resurface and recalibrate and get in the groove, you know what I mean? I say that in love. I love you guys. So. All right, but I'm going to give you four things. They're in your notes, and we're going to blast through this. So the first thing, if you want to stay on course, you know, because again, Solomon says, guard your heart. Guard your heart. It's the most important thing. Above all else, guard your heart. So the first thing that you're going to need to do if you want to stay on course is you need to watch your mouth. I didn't say wash. I said watch. Watch your mouth. Proverbs 4, verse 24 says, avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. So remember, Jesus said that everything that flows out of your mouth is coming directly from your heart. So whatever is in your heart is going to come out. It's going to flow out. So we need to guard. We need to watch our mouths. All right, I'm gonna go ahead and tell this. There was a fly, and he's buzzing along one morning, and he sees a lawnmower on someone's yard, and flies and lands on the handle there, and he's just watching the little kids as they're going to school, walking down the sidewalk. One little boy trips on the sidewalk, falls down, and spills his lunch all over the sidewalk. He picks up everything that he could and then continues on. But he leaves a piece of bologna on the sidewalk. The fly sees the bologna and is like, wow, it's morning, I'm really hungry. Flies down, starts eating the bologna. Eats way too much. So now he's eaten so much he can't fly. So he has to just kind of waddle across the lawn, climb back up on the lawnmower, on the handle of the lawnmower. And he's just watching the kids go by, go to school, but there's still more bologna on the sidewalk. And he's just like, oh man, that sure does look good. I know I'm so full, but temptation gets the best of him. He jumps off the handle, but he's so fat, he can't fly. Splat! Killed instantly. The moral of the story. Oh, no. Don't fly off the handle when you're full of baloney. That was for somebody. Somebody here needed that. Don't fly off the handle when you're full of baloney. So Proverbs 4:24, he says, avoid all perverse talk, stay away from corrupt speech. So that word perverse in the Hebrew actually means crooked. In other words, it's not straight, not honest, not real, not right. So keep your talk straight. Keep your talk, what you say, needs to be honest, needs to be truthful, not crooked. And the word corrupt speaks of something being foul or bad. So when you hear people use vulgar or filthy language, a lot of times we say, "Hey, man, clean that up. Clean up your language," because corrupt in the Bible means foul or bad. So, for you, do you need to clean it up? Do you need to clean it up when you're outside of these walls? Or do you need to focus on straightening it out? But in either case, you need to watch your mouth. That's the first thing we need to do. The second thing, in your notes, the second thing is, what are you staring at? What are you staring at? Proverbs 4:25 says, look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. We were talking about this in the car yesterday, but a few years ago, the insurance company Allstate started a advertising campaign that they entitled Mayhem. And in the Mayhem commercials, they would always show, different ways that accidents would happen or whatever. And one of the ones was a guy, he's driving, and his cell phone buzzes, and he looks down, and he reaches for it, but he accidentally knocks it in between the seats of the car, and he's still driving, and he's trying to reach down and try to get the phone, and then he finally looks down, and he's reaching for it, and then he looks up, and there's a car that backs out of a driveway, and wham! He runs right into it. And the whole thing about, the point of the commercial, he could have easily avoided that if he wasn't distracted. If his eyes had been straight ahead, he would have avoided that accident. Distracted driving, we all know, is dangerous. It's deadly. But can I tell you, distracted living is dangerous. It's deadly. What's distracting you from staying on course with God? Or maybe it's who is distracting you from staying on course with God? It could be friends. It could be family. It could be your hobbies. It could be laziness. But what or who do you have your eyes focused on instead of looking straight ahead and focusing on course, being on course with God? What are you staring at? That's the second thing we need. We want to stay on course. Number three is stay on the path. Stay on the path. Proverbs 4:26-27. Solomon says, mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. Now, the interesting thing about, in the original language, when you look at this passage, is mark out a straight path. What it means is it involves thinking ahead. thinking ahead about some things and weighing the options. Thinking ahead and weighing the options. This isn't while you're walking. This is thinking ahead beforehand. Like, you know, when you go on a hike somewhere like around here, you go on a hike and the signs say, stay on the trail. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The signs say, stay on the trail. You know, don't, you know, maybe there's even ropes. Stay on the trail. Don't go off the trail. When you go on a hike and you see those signs, you have to decide in your own mind ahead of time, am I going to stay on the trail? Or I don't plan on staying on the trail. I plan on going wherever I want to go. I plan on doing whatever I want to do. And in that process, there's a weighing of the options. And we all know that probably the majority of the injuries that happen to people on hikes are because they didn't stay on the trail. He says, stay on the safe path. Now, another problem that we face in terms of staying on the safe path is the danger of following people. People that are in front of us, we're not thinking for ourselves. We're just, they're going this way or that way, and we're just following them. Back in 2004, there was the NCAA cross-country race in Southern Cal. And of the 128 people in that race, there's 128 in the race, only five stayed on the course to finish the actual race. 123 of them took a wrong turn and were disqualified. 123. They interviewed one of the kids that actually went the right way. And when they got to that turn and he was going the right way, he was waving and yelling and, come on, you guys are going the wrong way. You know, he was trying to get everybody to go with him. And they asked him, so what did they say? What, you know, he said, they actually thought it was funny that I was going the right way. And some of you guys know exactly what that feels like. When people think it's funny that you, first of all, are here right now, or that you are here on Wednesday nights or Tuesday nights or whatever. People think it's funny that you're going the right way. And that's probably going to be the most difficult challenge and one of the easiest ways that you will end up sidetracked is that you will follow somebody instead of following God. And people will laugh that you're thinking that you're going the right way. Number four, last one, I'm going to close with this. Number four is trust in the Lord. If you want to stay on course, you will have to trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. That's the New Living Translation. I was telling the guys yesterday, because there was a question, there was a Q&A during the conference yesterday, and a couple of the speakers came out and they did a Q&A, and they asked one of the guys, like, what's the key It was in the references, it was in the context of men, but I believe it's true for everybody. What's the key for someone basically to stay the course as far as their Christian walk? What's the key factor, the key thing that has to happen? And I need you guys to hear this. Please, please look at me and pay attention. This is, and this guy, he said the key for anyone to succeed in the Christian life is surrender. It's surrender. Which I thought was really interesting, because as I'm, you know, throughout the week, I'm preparing this message, and I get to this Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, which if you've been a Christian for any length of time at all, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him. He will direct your path. Trust in the Lord. We just sang it, and we're going to sing it again. But what I didn't know was that that word trust in the Hebrew means to lie down on the ground, helpless, with your face in the dirt. Which in the ancient world was the posture of surrender. In the ancient world, it wasn't, you know, I surrender, don't shoot. In the ancient world, it was get down on the ground with your face in the dirt, helpless. That was surrender. And that's what the word trust means. And I thought yesterday when I heard that man say, you know, the key, you want, you know, success, blah, 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 you want to know what, you know, how to be able to live the Christian life the right way, it's surrender. I was like, bing. So I told the guys, I was like, it's amazing that he said that, because look at what I just learned. Trust means surrender. So surrender yourself to the Lord fully with all of your heart. Get down. That's the get down. Amen. Get down. Helpless. Then the next thing says, do not depend on your own understanding. Don't depend on your experience. Don't depend on your talent. Don't depend on your personality. Don't depend on your amazingly good looks. Don't depend on your relatives, your connections, your network. Don't depend on anything other than you're on the ground. And then he says, seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. But what I learned about that part is that what he's saying in the original language means more than just God's going to guide you. It means, ultimately, that God says that if you will do that, if you will get down, if you will depend on Him, if you will surrender yourself fully to Him, it says that God will remove the obstacles in front of you, and He will cause the path, your direction, to be smooth. Anybody want smooth? Amen. Now, I know some of us take a lot of pride in the fact that, you know, hey, I got there, but, you know, I made the destination, but, man, it was rough. There's some of us that take pride in you know, I did, it was hell, and there's the trail of carnage behind me, but I made it, I did it my way. Some of you guys take a lot of pride in that. Can I tell you, that's stupid. I would rather things be smooth. That's why I love smooth jazz. I would rather things be smooth. I'd rather just be able to cruise. Well, when we were playing Trust in the Lord this morning, and I looked at John, and I was like, when we play that song, it feels like we're just in a convertible on Melrose. Trust in the Lord. It just feels, I love it when my life goes like that. And I think you do too. But that's predicated on the get down. Will you humble yourself? Will you trust in the Lord with all of your heart? God says, if you will trust me, I will show you the way that is smoother, that is more peaceful, that is more joyful. You will enjoy it so much more than the striving and the one obstacle after another, and I got to overcome this problem and that problem, and I got to work around this thing and that person and blah, blah, blah. When God's like, if you'll just trust me, I've got a smooth way for you, for your life. You guys bow your heads with me. Lord God, we just want to thank you so much for your wisdom. God, we love your wisdom. We love your word. And so, God, I just pray now that you will meet us here in this moment, God. I pray that you'll shine your light on our hearts. Show us where we need to make adjustments, where we need to course correct, God, where we need to recalibrate our hearts to your word and to your wisdom so that our lives would benefit. And so, God, we just want to take this moment to hear from you and to respond to you. With every head bowed, I want to ask you, we've gone through four basic things. We started with our speech, what we talk about, guarding our mouths. Do you need to straighten your talk? Does it need to be more truthful, more honest, more straight? Or maybe you need to clean it up. Maybe there's a lot of bad words. There's a lot of negativity. There's hurtful things that you've said to people. And you need to straighten, you need to clean that part up. For some of you, it's the whole idea of being distracted. Allowing yourselves to be distracted, getting off the course that God has for you. For others of you, there's the issue of staying on the path, weighing the options, thinking ahead about what it is that you're doing. But for many of you, it may simply come down to trust. Do you trust? Will you trust? Will you surrender fully to God? So I want to ask you, if you're here today and if you feel like God has identified something in you that needs to be adjustment, there needs to be course correction, and you're willing to do that, whatever that might be, would you just raise your hand right now just to indicate? Amen, amen, amen. This is between you and God. Whatever that situation or situations are, God loves you. I love you. I want to see you succeed. And God especially wants to see you succeed. So will you just say yes to him, whatever it is he's asking you to do, whatever changes he's asking you to make, you just say yes in your heart to him. Lord God, I thank you. I pray that you will extend your grace to every single person that has raised their hands, every single person that's responding to you. I pray, God, that you will bless their lives. I pray, Lord, that as they trust you and as they focus on you, Lord, that you will indeed direct their path. And I pray that their lives will be filled with the fruit that comes from you. The good things that come from their hearts would come out and be a blessing to many. And God, I just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we give the Lord praise? Awesome. Awesome.